Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 27, start reading in verse number 37. We'll read several verses this morning. We may jump back over and read some out of Psalms 22 as well, may or may not, but this is what the Lord has laid on our heart for this hour of service, and we ask that you pray for us just briefly. But in verse number 37, the scripture, and set up over his head that his accusation written, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Elihi, Elihi, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And we believe that'd be all that the Lord have us to read in your hearing this morning. We pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. But if we want to look at something here for just a brief moment, we look at verse number 45, 46, and so on. But it says, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. And of course, there we have the Greek term which is written here, Elihi, Elihi, lema sabachthani, that is to say, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if we go back over to Psalms chapter number 22, you'll find this same passage recorded in Psalms 22 and verse 1. This was a prophetic scripture that David had written in Psalms chapter 22, which was to look to the coming of Christ and his death that day on Calvary. And as we look right here, I was reminded again this week. I tell you, a close friend of mine, he actually works for me. We're just a big family there at work. But his brother-in-law, 26 years old, massive heart attack, killed him instantly. Was reminded again this week how frail and how brittle the thread of life is. Here 1 minute, gone the next. And with all this being said, I didn't come this morning, and I thought about this morning as we were praying. I didn't come to preach the gospel of coercion, but the gospel of conviction. Amen? Because conviction brings conversion. Coercion, listen, there's a lot of people in the church today that I believe they've been coerced into salvation. Amen? Have you heard me say this many times? You know, when somebody's coerced into salvation, they're basically pulled. They're made to say these things, repeat after me. And we have these forms. We have these formulas. We have this great orthodox of things that we've got to go through. We've got to go through the school of baptism. We've got to go through the school of reformation. We've got to go
through the school of confirmation. We have all these different things that we have instituted into the church today. But what I'm here to tell you this morning is if we preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when the Holy Ghost convicts you, when conviction comes, then conversion comes. And I had nothing to do with it. It's of the Lord. Amen. And that's what we need in the church house today is people that have been born again, as Jesus declared in John chapter number 3. He said, if you enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Amen. In the book of Acts, the scripture teaches us, he said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. A lot of times from the pulpit, you'll hear that quoted that we might be saved, but that's not what the word of God says. It's not an alternative measure. Amen. It says if you get saved, you'll get saved under one name, and that name must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends, today we have derailed this course somewhere down through time and through history, and I don't know if it was to accommodate men, to accommodate everybody, but listen, I'm glad today the gospel does not need to be changed. Amen. All the gospel needs is to be preached. Amen. Listen. It says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Preacher, this is not Easter. I'm glad that every day of my life I live this scene. Ain't you? Amen. Listen, I'm glad as we look right here into the precious Word of God. Listen, and we see the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, on the outstart of this, before we ever get into these verses of Scripture, listen to me, and it was mentioned in Sunday school as well this morning, but I want everybody to apply the cross to your life. Amen. Listen, I don't want you to look at when Christ died for sin. I don't want you to look at the generality of sin, although that's what it was, but I want you to focus this morning on the cross of Calvary was for you and for you alone. Amen. If there was one that hell could have been their eternity, Christ would have came, done all that he did, gave his life willingly that you might have the opportunity to accept him and the work that was done on Calvary, that you might have everlasting and eternal life. For you, every waking moment of his life, everything that he offered, every fiber of his being, listen, it was all done for you. And as we look here, listen, you've heard me preach about this a number of times. But as we look, I want to just draw briefly again, if I could, from Revelation chapter number 5. Listen, the Bible says that, and we'll not get into it all in detail, but they opened the seals. There was none found worthy to open the seals. Amen. Listen to me. The Word of God says that heaven was searched, the earth was searched, beneath the earth was searched, and there was none found worthy. Amen. None. Do you understand that? Listen to me. You come, I come that day before the judgment bar of God to see if there was a willing, able sacrifice that would appease the wrath of God and make the atoning sin debt for all of mankind, and every single individual failed miserably. None, the Word of God says, was found worthy that day. Listen, they searched heaven, they searched the angels, they searched the earth, they searched beneath the earth, every able body, listen, that had ever been created, formed, fashioned, the life breathed into, listen, everything was searched that day. All failed miserably. None were found able, nor did they have the ability to go to the cross. Now, the Bible says that the Word of God says right here that after they searched these three things, that John the Revelator, he said, and after I had seen these things, I began to weep much. And that's speaking about John. And the Bible declares, he said, they was a mighty angel laid his right hand upon me and said, John, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the seals and to loose the books thereof. Listen, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And John said, and I looked into the midst of the throne. Now, this is what he's seen. He's seen a picture of Calvary. Hey, man, listen, where was Christ? Listen, if he wasn't in heaven, I'll remind you of what the Word of God says. They searched heaven, they searched the earth, and they searched beneath the earth, and there was none found worthy. Now, you listen to me? Listen. Where was Christ the whole time? He was on the cross. And that's what John seen. He said, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And the Bible says, and I, John, looked in the midst of the throne, and when I looked in the midst of the four beasts and the 24 elders, I seen a lamb as it had been slain since the foundation of the world. Amen. What did he see? He seen Calvary. Listen, if there is one thing in this life that is the most precious thing that we have, it is Calvary. And it's not the place, it's not Golgotha, it's not the hill, it's not the wood beams that was nailed and made into, it's not the cross, it's not the people who put him there. It's about the person who was on the hill, on the cross, who stood in the midst and the gap, and he reached up and he grabbed God by one hand and fallen man by another, and he said, I'll stand in the middle that you can come through me to go home. It's about him. It's not about the cross. It's about the man that was on the cross. Amen. Now listen. The Bible says, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And I want to preach to you about this morning. I want to preach to you about the turning of God's back. Have you ever been in a place at a point in time in your life when you question, God, why am I here? Have you ever been there? Say amen because you have. Listen to me, friends, this morning. I want to speak to the church, and I'm going to tell you something that you've probably been taught not to do your whole life. When you come to these places in your life, it's okay to ask why. Amen. Jesus, as he hung that day between fallen man and a holy God, and as he grabbed by both hands, and as he stood, listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Timothy, there's one man, there's one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us this in 1 John 2 and 1. He said, I write these things unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. I'm going to put to bed and put to rest this ideology and theology this morning. So many people say that Christ only died on Calvary for the sins of those that would be saved. I'm here to tell you this morning that Christ died for the sins of all mankind, those that are saved, those that are lost. That is the punishment for rejecting the forgiveness that has already been given to them is hell. You are forgiven today. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 8, the Bible said, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you something, friends. Listen, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, I'm glad He extends out toward us the indwelling, and He draws us to an altar of repentance that we might approach the Son. And I'm not going to get into all that, but listen to me. Here in a few weeks, we're going to put up Christmas trees in our houses. Amen. Yes, we are. And once we put these Christmas trees out, we'll start putting presents under the tree. Hey, man, and somebody, I know when I was a kid, I started rooting through all the presents under the tree. Which one's got my name on it? Which one's got my name on it? You see, the tree is representative of Calvary. The gifts on the bottom are the gift of salvation to every single individual. And are you following me this morning? Listen to me. There's not no question that if you have a gift under the tree, it is there and your name is on it. But it's not Christmas morning yet. Amen. You have to listen. It's a gift because He gives it, but it's only given when He offers it. Amen. So many people today, listen, they go under the tree and they start ripping the paper off before it's their time. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Y'all look at me like I got four eyes. Listen, I'm telling you something, friends, today. I know what the Word of God says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With a heart man believeth unto the righteous, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You saying, preacher, you don't believe that? I absolutely believe that. But we've got to take this scripture and apply it with the rest of it. He said, no man can come unto the Father lest he come through the Son. He said, no man can come to the Son lest the Father which sent Him draw him. Amen. It takes an order and a process. And once you are drawn to the Son and you confess all, and the Father, listen, into the Bible says, when the Son of God imputes into the sinner the righteousness of God, then we appear holy without sin, perfect in the presence of God. That's how you know that you've been made new, whole, born again. Amen. Well, that didn't happen to me. Praise God, get saved. Well, what will they think about me? Who cares? Amen. Well, them good folks at Silver City, well, they talk about me. I love you folks at Silver City, but if you talk about somebody gets saved, you need to get saved, or you need to get out. Amen. Now, you can take that check back out of my billfold if you want it. Amen. I mean that. Because we've got to get concerned about the Word of God. We've got to get concerned about the lost and dying world, that we could bring them and tell them about the man that hung on the tree. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends, listen, this morning, we need to embrace what Calvary is. You have got, listen to me, this, and that's why I said this in the outstart this morning. Listen, if any man be saved, he must come through Calvary. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The word must, listen, the English is about the one thing that kept me from graduating high school. I'm absolutely terrible at it. But as Spud English said one time, I may not have good English, but it makes for good preaching. Amen. So what I'm telling you is this, but the word must indicates a necessity. Amen. Listen, that's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 4. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. There is an indication that it has to come to pass. Ain't you glad today that there is a must, that there is a necessity of salvation today in Silver City Church? I really do.
I'm glad I can't see people's faces lots of times preaching, but I'm going to tell you something I think about when I'm preaching. I think about the Spirit of God.
It just goes up and down the benches, in and out of every heart, searching the minds, knowing the hearts. You know, that's what David prayed in Psalms 134. He said, Lord, know my heart. Know my mind. Search the range of my heart, that I might be found pure and holy before thee. What has church turned in for you? Amen. Is it just somewhere that you come to and you check it off your list and you say, I've fulfilled my obligation to the Lord? Amen. Church is not an obligation. Church is an opportunity. Church is a privilege. I'm telling you, when I go to the hospitals and the nursing home, I don't get to go as often as I'd like. But when I go to these places and I see these people that are suffering, that want to be in the house of God, that desire the preached word of God, that desire the singing and all the things that accompany the fellowship that God has afforded you, how blessed we are to be here today. Friends, listen. I'm glad. And I ain't even got into this. I don't know how long I've been preaching. Don't look at your watch. But now listen, I want to get on this just briefly. And it says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And now I want you to look about one thing. Who is Christ? He is, the Bible said that he is Emmanuel, that he is the incarnate of God. Amen. He is God in the flesh. That's what the scripture teaches us. Amen. That's what the scripture teaches us about who he is. He is the diadem of heaven. Amen. He is the Son. He is the Savior. He is the only begotten. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is all things in between. He is our salvation. He is our rock. He is our mantle. He is our good stay. He is our shepherd. He is all in all. Glory to God. He is everything. Everything. Who is he? Now as the Son of God, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, as he hung that day on Calvary's tree, the Bible said that the light of heaven became extinguished, and she didn't shine, she couldn't shine. The Bible tells me that we're going to, and there's basis behind this, the Bible tells me that we're going to a new city where there's a new heaven, where there's no more death, there's no more sorrow, there's no more crying, there's no more tears, there's no more pain, there's no more wickedness. I'm telling you something, friends, today I'm going to a place and I'm going to a city which they have dreamed about, which the Bible speculates about. Friends, listen, we try to study the Word of God to embrace the vastness of the kingdom of heaven, but the Bible tells me that eyes never seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But boy, I love to think about it. Amen. We're going to a place where there's no sin. Can Can you imagine that place that we all live harmoniously together, where there's no jealousy, there's no want, the lustful, sinful desires that fill our hearts and our minds, listen, they'll be absent from those glorified minds and glorified bodies. Hey, we're going to a land, hey, listen, we're going to a land where I can eat breakfast on Sundays, amen, and not be sick about the message God has sent, because I'm going to a place when I finish my preaching here, I'm going to praise Him there. Amen. Listen, when I'm done here, my preaching and my praying has stopped, and glory to God, I can start singing. Whoa, listen. Somebody, I'm telling you something, that's what's wrong with the church today. We're not excited about where we're going. Boy, I'm telling you. Well, there's good money in preaching, I'm telling you. You can keep it. I didn't even want to do it. Amen. Billy Poole told me one time, y'all don't know him. He's an old preacher up around the house. And he told me after I started preaching, he said, more times than none, you'll spend more money than you ever make preaching the Word of God. But he said, it's not about what you make, it's about the retirement plan. Amen. I'm not going to have another crown. I'm not going to have more Jews. The Bible said He's coming, and His reward, which is singular, He's coming with it. Amen. And He's bringing with Him. Amen. I'm just glad when I get to heaven, I don't get what I deserve, huh? But I get His mercy, His glory, and His grace. Because if I got what I deserved, don't matter how much preaching I ever done, I'd still be on my way to hell. But I'm glad, because there was three dark hours one day on Calvary. Listen to me. I'm glad because of those three dark hours, preacher. What transpired on Calvary in those three dark hours? Now the Bible tells me, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that He might impute unto you the righteousness of the law. Amen. What is this declaring unto us? Friend, there's one thing. If you can glory in the cross in one thing, there was three dark hours. But I'm glad at the end of the darkness, there was light once again. Why? Let me tell you. Jesus said, I'm going to a place, and I prepared you a city. And He said, the place I go to, it has no need of the sun nor the moon. Amen. It don't need any light in the city. He said, for the Lamb of God shall be the light of that city. Amen. Friend, let me tell you something. I'm glad that the three dark hours of Calvary, when He knew no sin, when the righteous, perfect, listen, incarnate Son of God, as He hung that day on Calvary, He became my sin. He became your sin. Amen. Listen to me. And eventually, the light of the Son of God was exhausted with the sin of man. Now I want to apply this to another area in Christians' lives briefly. When you get to the point in your life and it seems like there is absolutely no, listen, there's no more in you. God, I can't go any further. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. He said, Lord, He knew the three dark hours were coming, and He prayed in the garden. He said, God, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, Thy will be done. But Christians today, how willing are we in our lives? How willing are we in our lives at knowing what's ahead? When we stop and we seek God in prayer, He gives us by the unction of the Holy Spirit to listen, to press on, and we know what's ahead. First off, where we go, but when we get there, and all things are exhausted, and it seems like there's no way out. Christ, as he hung that day on Calvary, as he enveloped and engulfed all of man's sin, the only way that man's sin could be forgiven was that God the Father, the righteousness of the law, who cannot look on sin, had to turn his back on his son. Amen. In Isaiah 55, the Bible said, it satisfied God by bruising his son. That is how much he loved you. So as the ninth hour draws in, the Son of God is every name is called. Your name, my name, my wife's name, my children's name, your grandchildren's name, your friend's name, your friend's children's name. As the Son of God stood there and he called every name, every sin, past, present, and future. And the light of this world was exhausted by our sin. God the Father turned his back, and there was a cry made from Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. Listen, and that was the flesh declaring unto the Father that all things have now been filled. Amen. Listen, that's what that cry was. That cry was an exasperation of help. That cry was a declaration that I have fulfilled all the sins of all the flesh. Why did it mean that? Because God had turned his back. The only way God could turn his back is if the fulfillment of sin had now come. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Bible said, then it became light again. Amen. Listen, the completion of Calvary had then come. Amen. He had exhausted all that had ever been asked of him. Listen, and the Bible declares to us, it says to us there that he came to the cross. Listen, as light entered back into the world, he looked up toward heaven, declared it is finished, and yielded up the ghost. Listen, now he sealed our salvation because they never took it. He laid it down.
Amen.
He said, you may attempt to tear this temple down, but he told him, he said, I'll tear it down, and then in 3 days, I'll build it back. They came to him, and they went to break his legs. But so the scripture should be fulfilled in the book of Psalms, not of a bone of his body was broken. Why? Because he yielded up the ghost. Now, in Genesis 3:15, there was a prophetic word of scripture spoke to us when Satan beguiled Eve and Adam in the garden. And the Bible says that thou should be the seed of the woman. And it said, his heel, thou shalt bruise his heel, and his heel shalt bruise thy head. Now, let me explain this to you, because this took place during the three dark hours. And it's important for me to explain to you. Listen, when the Romans would crucify somebody, they would nail what they call a Scots block under the heels, about 2 inches wide. And they would put a Scots block under the heels of the person being crucified. And listen, because their arms were outstretched, listen, the person didn't die. They died of one thing, and that was suffocation, because the diaphragm collapsed across the precordial sac of the heart, and it set in, fluid built up on the heart and the lungs, and over a period of time, time, it suffocated him. And the only way, the only way that he could get a breath of air was to dig his heels into that old wood peg and stand up on the cross to lift his diaphragm off of his lungs so he could take a breath of air. But as he was doing this, he was destroying the foes of hell and Satan. His heels were bruising his head. Why is that important? Because we can stand here this morning and know what the Spirit of God is, and know, I can know as an 8-year-old boy what it meant to be saved by the grace of God. As we stand to our feet, as you come to the piano, I don't know. I don't know your heart this morning. And maybe you never understood what Calvary really is. I hope today when you leave Silver City Baptist Church, you can walk out of here and listen with your hand. I know what it feels like to lay at home in the bed at night and wonder if you're going to die. I know what it feels like to lay in the bed at night and feel like that everybody has left you and you are alone and there's no hope and there's no life and there's no future. But glory to God, I also know what it feels like to pillar my head and know if I don't wake up in the morning that I'll lift my eyes in the presence of my Savior.
Yeah.
As Billy Pooh said one time, goodbye here is hello there. Amen. I'm not going to the grave. I'm not going to the ground. Listen, the Bible said that where I am, there ye may be also. Where he is where I will be. Do you have that blessed assurance today that you know, as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. When you have been persuaded to that point, that's when you know that you've been saved. I want them to sing one more verse and I'll be done. But I want, while they sing this verse, are you satisfied the way you are? Are you satisfied to leave the house this morning just the way you are? Not a testimony, not a prayer, not a hug neck, not a I love you, not a I appreciate you. Are you satisfied? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. That's what's wrong with the church today is we stand here and we're scared to move when we quench the Spirit of God. But when God is beating, it is right. Amen. Do not quench the Spirit of God. Now, listen to me. I want to extend this to you. I heard this this week and I thought to myself, oh Lord, how true. The devil will never negotiate with a contract. You ever notice that? You know, you get over here and you know what's right and you know what you ought to do, but you get over here with the devil and you say, well, I'm just going to say this one thing. He says, okay. Because he knows if you're willing to compromise on your convictions enough to even contract an argument, then he knows that his work is already, he don't have to fight you. He's just waiting on you to commit. Amen. So friends, I said all that this morning. I'm not talking specifically about the altar call this morning, but I'm talking about is your life in general. Are you satisfied just as you are? Right now, are you satisfied just like you stand? With your life, with your spiritual life, with your family, with your marriage? Preacher, don't get into my life. I don't care. It is biblical. Amen? God wants control of it all. Are you willing to give it all to Him?